Get going and get you unmuted. Wait a minute, I can't hear you. Let me make sure. Wait a minute, I gotta get my stuff straight. Oh, you're not unmuted. There we go. All right, now we can talk.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All
Can
right,
you hear me okay?
nice.
'Cause I've got my earbuds in using them as my microphone. Is that okay?
Yep, I can hear you fine. Matter of fact, I even have you in my mine as well, so
Okay, it's just weird because I figured that. Talk again.
can you hear me now? I've got mine in as
I don't
well.
think these are actually working. I'm just going to take these out because I'm like, why would I hear you loud on this thing? All right. All right. So what are we coaching on?
Fat girl thinking.
Okay.
All topics of it, but mostly around my running and the goals that I have set for this year coming up, my running goals.
Okay.
Although I say that, I specifically picked this one to coach because one of my goals, I'm doing the Adobe Challenge in 2020.
All
So
right.
my plan is for the first half of the year to do a half marathon every month so that I can get comfortable with the half marathon distance so that when the real like training starts and then the long training starts, I'm just more physically ready for it, but more mentally ready for it for that half
Let me ask
marathon.
you a question, because I've done the dopey, okay? A half marathon every month is going to be very aggressive a year out. Has somebody told you to do this, or is this like your mindset has come up with it?
No. I mean, this is where, like, this is actually where I'm at, like, with my running. Like, to me, that's not, like, one a month isn't. I run pretty regularly anyway. Like, I've done, it's not like I've never done. I think, I mean, I've done like 20 or so, and I'm comfortable with the distance. I just did one, like, just now. I did one this morning.
Okay.
This was my February one.
Okay.
So physically, I'm okay with it. It's more of a mental thing with it. And we're not talking about like balls to the wall kind of running with it. So,
I just wanted to make sure that it was like the dopey is fun, but it's have you ever done that? You done any of the raises?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of taking pictures, so
Yeah. Right, which is what I want. That's really what I want to do it for. And I want to excuse me. I want to train enough to where I can actually like stop and take the pictures and not worry about the balloon ladies because I've also had the balloon ladies pass me on my first attempt to do the dopey or the not the dopey, just the full marathon. And we didn't make it. And then I had to go back the next year. And I did it the next year. And but I've never put myself in a time where I could actually stop and take the pictures that I wanted to take without any kind of fear, which is most of the reason why I want to do it.
okay, so what is the fat girl thinking then? Because
Well, it's
we're gonna do some training and stuff. So where is the fat girl thinking coming in that you need fixed?
really more along the lines like I'm doing really well right now, and I'm almost in disbelief that I'm doing well. So how do you, when you're still kind of in disbelief that things are going so well and that you're doing the work and you're doing the things and everything is going good from, well, you've never done that before and you'll probably fail on this and all of like it's almost like it just comes at me at the weirdest times at the, just the, and
Yeah,
it's
it's supposed to. Why do you want that to go away?
because
You know
I'm just
how that goes
so.
away? Let me tell you how that goes away. Your dream. That's how it goes away. Just quit on your dream, and then you can have all your fat girl thinking go right on away.
I just get used to
Yeah.
it. All right.
Why do you not want to get used to it?
Well, I mean, I feel like I am a little bit more, but then I just feel like it should just like be less. It should be.
Why should it be less? If you don't care about it, then why do you care if it's like every single day, just like, oh, hey, I'm your best friend over here, just talking, just coming in for the ride.
It just seems more relentless than usual, or
Because you're
with
doing
it
bigger
maybe.
things. If you were just going to run a 5K once a month, let me tell you, that's a really good way to quiet fat girl thinking because that would be automatic and easy. You set a big goal, guess what gets to happen?
You
Everything
get to
you
going.
normally think that is supposed to come up with doubt and fear and whatnot comes in. That's part of goals. Like most of us want to set goals and enjoy, this is what we want. I want to experience the fun part where I sign up for the race. And then I want to experience the fun part where I do the race. And then everything in the middle I'd like to skip because that's the part where I doubt myself. I'm tired. I don't know that I want to go do it. It's like, no, that's part of it. Now, here's the thing. You're buying into it because you're allowing it to be a problem rather than allowing it to come in and just be like, yeah, it's normal to think these things. Somebody who's going to do a 4-day basically adventure race is probably going to doubt themselves because they've never done it. Like when your brain says, yeah, but you've never done that before, you should say, you're right. It is. That's a terrible thought. And I'm like, no, it's called the truth.
Okay. Yeah. Just, okay, I can see that. And it's not even like the dopey is the ultimate goal on it. But like for even for right now, what I was not more afraid of, but what I really thought, like, that's the long-term goal. Like today I thought, okay, I'm going to do a run today. I'm going to do a half marathon. My goal is my quarter goal, like was for February to do a race in February and it be under 2:45. Mm-hmm. That was my goal. My PR was like 2:59 or something a couple years ago. And I've been doing a lot of work getting towards it. My one today I was like, okay, I'm expecting to do about 2:55. 2:50 would be great. And I ended up doing it like in 2:47. So I'm just, even still in doing it, I'm like blown away. I'm like, oh my God, you just did that. That was just freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. And not that she's coming in, but it's like, I can't believe I just did that. And I guess
I love it when I surprise myself.
I guess so. I think I am really proud of myself, but even like saying, I can't believe I just did that, is like, I'm doubting myself, but it's really not. It's just being in freaking amazement.
Yeah. I think you just need to amazement. Okay. I think you're trying to make meaning out of these thoughts, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll make better meanings.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're right.
To like alleviate a little bit, you have a couple of options. Make better meanings behind what they are. Don't
care
if it's coming in, or sit on your goals. And that's the quickest. Okay, on this call, the fastest way to not have fat girl thinking is to quit the pursuit of doing amazing things for yourself.
Okay, well, that's not an option. That's not happening. Yes. So then that's what I needed. So that's what I needed was the other one. So either just quit making it mean so much or give it a different meaning. Like, let it come in and just be like, yeah, you're right. I've never done that before. Yeah, let's see what happens. Come on, let's go see what we can do. All right.
Don't be hell-bent on, and I think maybe even doing some work around, like, you're going to be surprising yourself a lot this year.
Yes.
Let that land correctly.
Yeah. I do believe that. I really do believe that. I am going to be surprising myself a lot this year. I am now getting into the phase of my weight loss where this is the lowest I've ever weighed in my adult life, and it's going down and it's going to be going down. And every time it goes, it's like a new standard I'm setting. And I don't want to say I'm lowering the bar. I feel like I am like raising the bar in it, in my thinking and with what I'm doing. So I'm going to be surprising myself a lot. I'm going to be surprising myself a lot this year and doing a lot of new things this year.
Make sure, though, I will say this for the dopey, just as an ex-dopier, get on a real training plan for it, invest a little money, and maybe even hiring someone to not only write you one, but check in with you and keep you from overtraining. It is a super easy thing to do. Well, I burned myself out really bad, and I don't know that this was years ago. I still have problems, and it all started back then when I was so hell-bent on the goal and hell-bent on taking care of myself.
Yeah. The programs that I've always done with all of my – I started my first the Princess Challenge I did in 2015, and then eventually, like, in 2018, I did the full marathon. I've always done the Jeff Galloway that comes with the dopey thing, and I follow it to a T. Yeah. And, like, my running, when I did the full, I did 30-second jog, 30-second walk the whole time. And I didn't have any injuries. I didn't have, you know, and I just tailored it a little bit around like my work schedule, but I followed it pretty well. And I had a wonderful experience with it. What I want to do now, it's the reason why I want to get like more comfortable with the half distance right now. And then I'll start from the beginning and just build my way up with it, is so that I can, so that I can be just a little bit faster and I can actually stop and take the pictures and wait in line and then keep going and not be afraid of the balloon ladies.
Well, I will give you a tip. On the marathon. So on half marathon day, get all the, because you're already fast enough where you can take all the pictures and not have the balloon ladies get you. You want to get all your first half pictures done. On marathon day, you take no pictures on the first half. They're all the same. They're the exact same.
Oh, okay.
You skip those for the back half pictures.
Gotcha. Oh, I love it. I love it. That's,
we learned that lesson after the goofy. We were like, oh. We got a hold of it. And then you're not out there fucking 7 hours on Sunday.
Well, listen, I was there for 7 hours on my last full. That's how long it took me. And the reason the balloon ladies didn't come close is because we had, like, good corral placement. But other than that, they would have came right there with us. And I don't want that either. I don't want to be out there doing the whole time, you know. Yeah, so that's a good strategy also with the pictures. I like it.
You need to, like, think about how you can plan it. Don't be worried about these balloon ladies. You need to tell yourself, I am already fast enough. Like, that is now – because here's the thing. You don't want to train – being afraid of balloon ladies. You want to train because you look forward to surprising yourself. Yeah. That is a whole different energy, a whole different mindset. Your training will go better and you won't burn out. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. All right. Who's next? Lee Pierce. Are you here, Lee? I have you down for coaching. If not, then Destiny, you're next. I'm going to go ahead and call on you, Destiny. Oh, wait, there's Lee. Never mind. Found you. A balloon lady is like the people at the back that say, like, if we catch you, you have to get swept off the course. Somebody was asking about a balloon lady. All right. Hey.
Hi.
You look cute today.
Oh, thanks. I just got Zumba, so.
All right.
My Zumba workout wear.
What are we coaching on?
I wrote in the, you use a phrase a lot in the podcast, keeping promises to yourself. Well, you use it in the opposite, which is like stop breaking promises to yourself. But I am not good at keeping promises to myself, and it's very frustrating.
I bet. I would like it if my husband didn't keep promises to me.
Yeah, and I'm good. Like I've learned to set external accountability because I know that that works for me, but obviously the real goals that I need are not things that other people can keep me accountable to.
Well, tell me something that you're breaking a promise to yourself now that you like need to work on.
So my immediate thing is I have a TED talk on Saturday. So a week from today.
Or
week from yesterday. Yeah. I still have not done my revisions or practiced or written my slideshow because every day I just put it on my 24-hour plan. And then every day I convince myself, tomorrow will be easier or I'll get it, or, you know, I'll have more time. I mean, whatever many thought, and I thought downloaded on this, but every day and I think part of it too is my whole life, I'm good at pulling things out of my ass on the last minute. So I know I'll pull it off.
The problem, here's your problem. You're giving yourself way too much time to do this. You know, the real deadline is, let's say, what is the real deadline? Like it has to be done on this day.
Well, it's hard to say because, like, for it to be really excellent, that deadline's probably passed, but I could do it.
No, it's not. It's not passed because I'm going to guarantee you it can be really excellent this week. How long is your TED Talk? 20 minutes?
14.
You have 14 minutes of talking.
Yeah, but you got to design a slide.
This TED Talk? Oh, who are you talking to, honey? I do slides and shit all the time. I talk all the damn time.
I know.
If I want to give an amazing presentation, you know what I need? One day. And how many do you have left between now and your talk for 14 minutes?
Six.
Yeah. You need 3 hours of one day.
So you think I just, so then do I schedule it right before the, do you think that I just work right up to my deadlines? Cause that's just what I'm doing anyway.
I think you pick when you're going to do it. And that's when you're going to do it. And you promise me that that's when you're going to do it.
All right. So good. So more external accountability. That seems to be my wheelhouse.
No, it's internal. Like, y'all think that's external accountability saying, I promise Corinne.
Yeah.
Yeah. The internal is, I don't want to let her down. That's you. There's plenty of people out there to be like, fuck Corinne. I'm not doing it today.
Right. Because what are you really going to do if it doesn't happen?
Right. Where do you live?
New York.
Yeah. I'm not coming to New York.
not in this weather. No, you're not.
No. It's because you will put your internal pressure on yourself to get it done.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When we think about breaking promises to ourselves, it's because we're really not setting ourselves up for a consequence if it doesn't happen.
Okay.
You need a consequence. Like, I don't go to Zumba. Like, what is something you love to do? What are you doing the rest of the day?
Hopefully writing this fucking TED Talk.
Yeah. And what do you got planned for tomorrow?
Well, I really love my job. I'm a college professor. So Monday through Friday, I just have an awesome day. But but there's an example of accountability, right? I could cancel class. Like, we have class at 8:30 on Monday morning. Nothing would happen if I sent an email to them and said, sorry, don't feel like it, but I like it, so I go.
You need to like preparing for this TED Talk.
Yes, and that's
something. Why do you not like it?
Well, and what's weird is, and I mean, you understand this, like, I'm good at it. I'm good in front of a crowd. I'm a great public speaker. My ideas are awesome. So what's so strange is I know once I get started on a lot of this stuff that I plan, it's once I get going, it's gravy, and I love it, and I love the rush, and I love having the video when it's done, but it's just like it's here to that next step of just sitting down and doing the work where I just convince myself.
Well,
and you know what you're going to say. Like, I was hesitant to even sign up for a call because every time I think about what I'm going to tell you, I already can like, well, here's what you would say. Just do that, right?
All right, tell me what I was fixing to say. And I'll tell you what I would say because I go through this every fucking month when it's time to do y'all's courses. Every month. I'm like, well,
I think you would say do a thought download and pick the thought.
No.
Oh, no? What would you
say? That's a waste of time. You already know what your problem is. You talk yourself out of doing your work. You've fondled the model well enough and your thought downloads. Here's your problem. You're not doing jack shit.
No, I'm not.
Guess what the solve for not doing jack shit is?
To do it.
Pick something and do it. I think what's going on, though, is that you're thinking of, I've got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And for those of us who are like, once we get started, we're like, we start going at it. Like, if I start a project, it's hard for me to let go. Like, I'm just in it, and I'm accomplishing things, and I'm like, woo-hoo. But that first part is always harder for me because my brain is thinking about everything I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
That's what allows me to stay lazy and, like, go lift weights instead. Or whatever. So what I would do is I would pick one piece of this project. And be like, this is all we're thinking about, whichever piece you want it to be. And I always pick the thing that's like the most, like if I do this one thing, a lot of the rest of the work is going to get so much easier. Let's say I was going to write a speech, like say I was going to give a TED Talk. First thing I would do is I would just type it like I would talk it. And it doesn't, it's uncensored. There is no grammar check. There's no flow. It's nothing. It's like how I would just, and you can even do it in a voice recorder. And a lot of times that just helps me like, okay, now I have my content. Now it's time to like figure out what I want to keep. What do I want to ditch? Oh, a good worksheet would go here. Oh, this would make a great slide. Then everything comes together. But it's because I allowed myself to quit thinking about everything that has to be correct for this.
Yeah, and I always tell my students when I'm trying to get them to submit a draft of something, I tell them to send me the shittiest draft they can write. Just to get right, because no matter what, your first draft's always going to be shitty. So you can just do a shitty draft now, or you can procrastinate and stress out and then still write a shitty draft in 4 weeks.
I think a lot of times we want to find thoughts. I mean, like if you were telling, like you said, I know I'm really good at this. Your biggest problem is you know you're really good at it. And if you want to procrastinate, you can. And you can do a really good job at the end of the week.
Yeah.
So, but I like to think about this. I don't want to be thinking all week long about it. Right. You know what I want to do? I want to give myself the gift of finishing this fucker. Get your B+ version or your B- version done. Then the rest of the week, if you want to like mess with it, and tweak it and do that stuff, you're doing it from a place of making it better, not from a place of dreading working on it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and when I lost a lot of my weight when I first started listening to the podcast before I joined the tribe, I would have this thought, look, you've got two choices. You can spend, you can decide right now you never want to be thin and then you can stop this. Mm-hmm. Or you can just do it because you're not going to spend the rest of your life thinking about wanting to be thin and then not doing it.
Yes.
Right?
There's a lot of freedom in it, just being very honest with yourself and saying like, I either want to do the work right now or I don't.
Yeah.
And playing around with my work. In fact, my friend and I, we've been like coaching and talking and doing all the things the last 3 days. And we had some stuff where we're just like, shit, like we need to either decide this is important.
Yeah.
We're no longer messing with this. And we're going to like, why do I keep messing with this? There's probably something else that I really need to be working on, right, if I'm not pulling the trigger on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think
get off this call, and I want you to like do your outline. I don't even think about it.
Okay. I will.
Your arms are gorgeous, by the way.
My tattoos?
Not like your shoulder structure.
Oh, and we don't have time for this today, but one of the things I wanted to coach on, but I knew that this was the bigger problem, is I...
Oh my God, you're cutting in and out. Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm unstable. So I keep hitting, so for 4 times now, I have hit 179 pounds and then jumped back to the low 180s days after. And the first time that this happened, I had gone to get my body composition done because I figured now that I'd lost the weight, pretty much the fat, I wanted to start tweaking body composition. And they told me that I was 6 pounds too heavy in my upper body.
You need to like tell them to sit on your middle finger and spit.
And it's so frustrating because I was feeling so good. And then they said, you have to like bulk up in the legs. And one of the things I have just not been able to make myself do is lift weights. So I just keep saying, you know, when I'm ready to level up and lift weights, I'll do it. But every time I put it on my plan, I sort of like elastic bounce back. So I've stopped doing it, but I put it on my plan the next day to lift lower body. And that was the first of 5 times that I did this jump back thing. And so I don't know. It's a whole thing, cause I know you love to lift weights and I know I need to, but I don't know how to get it on the plan, but maybe I write the TED talk first and then we can coach on this
next Yeah. time. Or you could just put it on the plan. Like I told you to get the TED talk done. It's called Just Do It. Like you've got to quit. Like this is everybody's problem.
I know.
You have to quit thinking that it's going to be hard to do, or like, I got to get it on the plan. I got to do this. It's like, no, you know what we need to quit doing? Quit looking for the thoughts and stuff and start doing some stuff. Like, I would rather you guys do shit and do thought work around the shit you're doing
right,
and to sit around and try to get, now I need my perfect thought that's going to make it so easy to implement. Okay. Now I'm ready to take action. It's like, no, you know what? Your TED talk is a matter of, I don't want to do this. Time to start writing.
That is a good goal for me to thought download and journal around trying to do things and it being hard rather than pre-journaling about why I need to do it. That's a good goal for me. I'm going to work on that.
Yeah. And I will tell you guys, for all of you, the more you just like, a lot of you want like to do a lot of thought work around the realistic plan and your 24-hour plan. And should I start the 24-hour plan? And what the 24-hour plan means, it's like, how about you just do some, let's see how that rolls first. Then you can work on whatever thoughts come up after you do it.
That is a really good goal for me. Okay, I will put that on. I will start working around that because that'll at least have me doing things before I'm writing about them, which is obviously ass backwards.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
See you next month. Bye.
All right. Destiny, you're next. Everybody's like, action, action, action. Hey, Destiny, can you get you? Oh, there you are. All right. Awesome.
Okay.
I couldn't see your camera at first. So what are we coaching on?
Well, I'm not real sure. I'm going to probably say I'm going to end up with fat girl thinking here and that it wasn't really thinking that I was having that issue. But I don't feel like I've lost fast enough. I've been in since May.
Okay.
But I did the habit tracker on my January, and that made me go, oh, maybe I didn't follow as well as I thought I had. So my total was like
the absolute right pace based upon your actions.
Yes. I went, oh, well, that explains a lot. So we're going to be okay with the 3 pound loss in January because I was only like 69% at the bottom. So I have a goal to lose 11 pounds by April camp.
Okay. That sounds great.
So I'm just, I mean, I've been planning. This is the first time I've planned like 50 plus in a row since I joined.
Okay.
So I've been assessing. I'm very realistic with the plans. I just think I may be in too realistic. Like I let myself have too many things.
Well, level
I have
it.
I know. I've got to. That's one of the things that's got to happen.
Like one of the thoughts of like when we say I'm not losing fast enough, like a really good counter thought to that is I'm losing at a reflection of my effort.
Yes.
That allows you to look at everything. Now, sometimes you may lose slower. You're still losing at the effort level. But if you really correlate results to effort and the actions and stuff, keeps you out of being in the doer that something's wrong. It makes you very focused on that. Some months, you're like, nothing should change. This just wasn't my month. Some months, it's like, oh, this is stark reality. I'm like planning ding dongs 4 times a week and wondering why I only lose 3 pounds a month. You know, whatever.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean, and I think, you know, like this week I knew it was that time of the month and I'm a sweet person. So I had candy every day this week, but I lost 2 pounds this week. Okay. But I need to get that off because then it gets into a habit of me doing it all day long instead of just at a certain time.
No, it does. Do not tell yourself that because you plan sweet every single day that makes a habit that now I'm going to eat it all day long. You know what makes a habit of eating it all day long?
What?
Not planning it. It's not that you planned. Like, guys, if every one of you planned a bag of M&Ms at noon, you eating sweets all the rest of the afternoon is not because you planned M&Ms. It's because you didn't plan the rest of your day or you broke your plan. The M&Ms can't make you do anything.
Right.
It's what you choose to do after that. If you choose to think, if your belief is, well, if I have some candy, snowball effect, guess what happens? You obsess over candy all afternoon rather than being like, I get a bag of candy every afternoon. And that's what happens here. And then the rest of the day, guess what I get to do? I get to enjoy the sweet result of not having any more.
Okay. So, I mean, I get that. I do. So, I need to go from every day to maybe just put it on there and maybe see if I can sit without eating it.
That's fine. But here's the thing. I don't care if you want to take it off. You're taking the M&M, or I don't know if it's M&Ms, whatever you eat. What is your candy?
Right. It's a jelly bean.
Okay. Jelly bean. If you plan them every day, that's fine. If you decide to stop planning them every day, you're doing it from fear of somehow jelly beans control me. Somehow jelly beans lead to binging or overeating or being out of control. And that's the wrong mindset. If we're going to take them off the table and just like, yeah, my period's over. It's just, you know, I think this week I could just do it 3 or 4 times. This might help me with more of my weight loss. I'm going to see how that goes. That's like a mindset of curiosity, of tweaking, of like I'm making executive decisions and stuff like that. Not, ooh, now you got lucky this week. I don't know. You're going to probably have a problem. I mean, that's bullshit mentality that will keep you overweight long term. So when you are making decisions, be super conscious of why you decide to put things in and why you decide to put things out. That's why we watch our thoughts. Because jelly beans, the last time I checked, don't come alive and do anything to us.
Okay.
Like, I can come and shake you. I can do something to you.
I don't know that will help. It might scare me, but no. Okay. Okay.
Do you
that helps.
The difference?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Say, like, inanimate objects do things to us.
Right. Right, and it's all in my head.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all you. It's destiny.
Yes.
Not jelly beans. Just say, if there's extra candy getting on the plan, this ain't jelly beans' fault. This ain't, like, I can't handle myself. It's like, no, I walk my happy ass over to the jelly beans when they're not
right.
on.
Right, okay.
I can look at my plan and be like, oh, yeah, the plan this afternoon says no jelly beans.
Okay, that helps.
All right, Missy. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got today.
All right. I'll see you in April. 11
yes,
pounds.
Ma'am. Yes.
All right.
I got it. Okay. Thanks.
Tell me. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Heather. Let's do it. I think you are my last one, right? Yeah. You guys are such easy solves. Somebody give me something challenging. All right, what are we coaching on? If you start crying, I'm going to die.
Oh, I cried the first time I coached with Kathy, so I wouldn't be surprised if I start crying.
Okay, all right, well, I set myself up for it.
You started it.
That's right.
So what I wrote down and what I wanted to talk about, I actually just signed up about 24 hours ago for this opening. And I'm just so excited that it's you that I get to talk to, because you're my girl crush for the past year. And
oh, wow.
I'm so glad that you took time away from your girls' weekend to talk to us today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know how special those times are. I've taken a couple of vacations with my girlfriends, and it's just really, you know, it brings out the best in you to take time away and just reflect and chat and everything. So thank you for taking time away from that.
You're welcome, because it has been amazing. We've had such a good time. And my next Facebook Live, I'm going to tell you guys about my experience yesterday, because no one will believe what I did yesterday. It is the craziest story ever, and we're still laughing about it. But I will leave that story for another day.
Those are the good adventures. And so what I wanted to talk about was, I have this cycle of a couple of pounds that are going up and down and up and down. But really what it is I'm just eating to maintain. I look at my 24-hour plans, and I'm eating the crap that I wrote down that I was going to eat, and it's crap, and I need to level up. But I never really get out of, you know, I look at it, I wrote it down, I ate it, and then I sit and judge myself. And so I don't learn from the mistakes and learn from the reflection.
So you're recovering, or you are planning realistically? Which one's happening?
I'm planning realistically. I'm planning the coffee and the Danish, and I'm planning the sandwiches, and I'm eating the exact amount that I wrote down in my plan, but yeah, it's the amount that I need to stay 250 pounds.
Right.
It's the right amount.
So you're not overeating. You're eating your plan. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I couldn't really tell what you said. Like
when I look at my plan, sometimes I'll see, like, yesterday I had an apple and popcorn for late night snacking, because we do like some online gaming at night, and I ate an apple and popcorn that wasn't on my plan. And so it's not like terrible things. When I do go off.
I ever say that. Now, all of you have to quit saying that. It is one of the most subtle and lethal thoughts, but it's better than it used to be. It's like, it doesn't matter what used to be. It's, here's where I'm at, and here's where I'd like to go. What is the distance between those two? You guys do so much measuring the distance of where you were. It's like, who cares? If you want to say, like, yeah, it's better than it used to be, but I'm not going to sit there and use that against myself to feel better because I broke my plan tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that breaking your plan has to be a miserable experience. It does not mean it needs to be full of shame, but it, like, there needs to be no tolerating it. You have to talk to yourself. They'd be like saying, well, you know, my kid, he used to bite my, like the 4-year-old used to bite the 2-year-old all the time, and he's only doing it a couple times a week now and draws a little blood versus what he used to. Like, would you ever say that?
No.
Would you tell the kid, like, we have to quit biting? There is a consequence to biting. Here's what we're going to do because you're still biting. And when you quit biting, we can do other things. Like, you guys will sit there and be like, well, it's okay. A little blood won't hurt. They'll get over it. I mean, you used to be a real chomper.
Yeah, there are still overeats. But when I look at my plans, I just start talking to myself negatively. Like
what? What do you say about your plans?
Well, I had some success early on where I lost 20 pounds right away.
Okay.
And then, why can't you do as well as you did back then? Well, you know, what's wrong with you now?
What is the difference before you start getting into self-judgment? I want you to keep coming back to data. I want you to keep coming back to data, because you're wanting to make this emotional.
Uh-huh.
This is not emotional. It feels emotional only because of how you're thinking about it. But that's part of the problem, is you're doing more thinking about it emotionally rather than looking at what is the difference between, so did you start at 270 and now you weigh 250?
Yeah.
Okay. So the difference between, what was 270 doing that 250 is not doing?
Well, 270 was telling herself, you've gained 5 pounds every year, and that's just what is always going to happen. There's no hope for you.
No. You misread my question. Sorry.
Sure.
The 270 that lost 20, so let me make myself real clear. Sorry.
Sure.
The 270 that lost 20, what is the difference between her and the 250 that needs to lose the next 20? What is the difference between those two right now?
That's a good question. I think when I first started, there was just a lot of hope. Like, I can lose the weight, and I'm going to keep off this weight.
And you don't have that now.
I guess I look at my assessment, my 24-hour plan, and I just talk to myself really negatively about it. Okay. Like, that's not good enough.
Right. I want you to set that part aside. Mm-hmm. What's getting in your way is you think the way you're talking to yourself is the real problem. Right now, I want you to be like, yeah, I talk to myself like that, but I'm still going to look at my data. The only way you're going to lose weight is to look at this data and start making changes. Like, you're going to have to game at night and not have apples and popcorn. You're going to enjoy gaming. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the shame and judgment of when you're looking at your plan. We can work on that separately, but like, if you want the result to be you start losing the next 20 pounds, it's going to make, you're going to need to get out of your head and into your data and set aside self-judgment.
So do you think it would be helpful to, like, I don't know, focus on the positive things that are
yes. Yeah, like, all of you think that your, like, brain is so hard to fix. I'm like, no, like this. How about when you look at your plan, you're like, I am not allowed to judge it. Here's what I'm allowed to do. Figure out the next best thing for tomorrow. How am I going to do one more positive thing? Like, you're very well practiced in pulling it apart emotionally, and that's not working. I would bet you the 270 to 250 person wasn't doing that. When I asked you the difference between 270 that lost 20 pounds and 250 that loses 20 pounds, you said you had hope and all this other stuff. The first version looked at her plans and was excited and was thinking, oh, I think I'm going to be able to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then you hit 250. You're like, I don't know about all this.
And I want to go back to it because it felt so good.
Yeah, well, then start thinking that today.
Right.
Like, you guys act like it's a long journey. Oh, just want to get back there. It's like 4 hours away. No, it's literally right here. If you want to be hopeful about today's plan, write a plan down today that feels hopeful. Like, especially if you want to feel hopeful, that's one of those things where if you were to write down a plan that you feel hopeful or excited or enthused, whatever it is you want to feel around that plan, doable. You have to be looking at the plan. You have to be evaluating if you're going to be able to follow it. It also requires a little bit of challenge. There's no hope with stagnation. So, like, if you look at your plan and your first thing is judgment, like, there's no way I'm going to lose weight eating that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it doesn't need to go to perfect. Then the first thing should be like, okay, well, what is one small change I could make? What is one tiny step forward? Guess where that walks into the direction of? Hope. Forward. That feels better. So to lose 20 pounds, the next 20 pounds, what is it going to have? What are you going to have to be doing? Not thinking. Stay out of thinking land for now. We can address thinking in a minute. I want to know, like, what actions do you think it takes to lose the next 20?
Getting back to drinking water instead of drinking calories.
How many calories do you think you drink a day?
Well, if I'm drinking a bunch of juice and coffees with all the junk in it and sugars. Okay. And
everything. Let's just do this. For 2 weeks, that shit's gone. But you don't change any of the food. Have your popcorn and your apple. Have all that. No more juice. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs juice. What kind of juice you drink?
I like cranberry juice.
Okay, go buy you some cranberries and chomp down. Mm-hmm. You can include them as a snack, but we're not drinking juice anymore.
Yep.
You know why?
difference?
It's not empty calories. It's standing in the way of this. It's your obstacle. Your juice and your coffee is your obstacle to drinking your water. So the best way to drink your water is to remove the obstacle.
Yeah, I need to do that, and I need to level up my food choices, just going to those better, best choices.
I bet you don't have to. You know what I bet for you at 250? And I know this because I used to weigh 250. You cut out juice and frou-frou coffee, and you drink water, and you eat your plan. You put whatever you want on that plan when it comes to the food. Because you're not overweight because of popcorn and an apple.
Yeah.
But you eat the plan. And you don't overeat. And then you fast on judging your plan.
Yeah, the judgment's a problem.
Well, what's hilarious, and we all do this, is like you're saying, you'll look at your realistic plan and talk about how that's not good enough. But you know what's not good enough? Eating off that plan. Mm-hmm. That's what the real truth is. Like, no, you know, I'm going to call a spade a spade. If I was just eating my plan all the time and following it and evaluating and like truly being curious about it, I'd have a whole different outlook on my life right now. But what's really not good enough is when I sit there and pretend that the plan is the problem, when the real problem is I'm eating off the plan because I have douchebag thoughts about myself. So rather than trying to see what you can cut, let's cut the douchebag thoughts and let's cut what stands in the way of one of the four basics. Just start there and don't change anything else. I promise, Heather, you'll come back and you will say, okay, Corinne, I lost 20 pounds. I didn't believe you. I didn't think I could keep eating some of that stuff I plan, but I can. If you need cranberries that much, then I want you to just go. Feel free to buy you a bag. They don't taste as good when they're not made in juice. And you'll be like, wow, I didn't love cranberries near as much as I thought.
Yeah.
I did that once. The only reason why I tease you is because I like cranberry juice too. And I just thought they'd be amazing. I'd never had like a cranberry that wasn't like in jelly form or juice.
Right.
And some real ones. And I was like, this is fucking terrible. I was like, nobody eats these.
Yeah. Starbucks is just going to go out of business without me.
Good. Are you coming to any camps?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to save up some money because my daughter's going overseas for her college. She has an opportunity to do a couple of weeks in Europe this summer. And so she's our priority right now. So.
Okay. And here's what I want you to tell yourself every time that you're going to blow money on coffee and Starbucks and juice. My daughter's the priority, not Starbucks. Starbucks doesn't need me to help them build another restaurant. Starbucks doesn't need me for anything. You know what? My daughter could have a lot. How much you spend in a day in Starbucks? $5?
Yeah, easy.
So easy, five times 25 a month is what?
Quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Just do that. Like, seriously, there's nothing better than doing real math. Like, oh. Now, every time that I want to get a Starbucks coffee, I know what the penalty tax is for my daughter's trip overseas. Because you almost started crying. She's the priority. We want to do this. And it's like, but it's never registered to you that, oh, wow, maybe we could hit some weight loss goals and send our daughter off overseas if I just stop drinking Starbucks.
Right. I could put a picture of her in front of the Eiffel Tower instead of me holding on to my venti Frappuccino thing.
You should take a picture of you with an empty cup like this and put it right next to her and be like, boo, Starbucks, you're out. Fast food. That would be amazing. But no, this is what I want you guys to do. It's like, you guys get so caught up in your shame and judgment. You don't even take the time to be like this is my comfortable habit. This is my thing. It's going to be so hard to let go. And I just shame myself over all this stuff. And I'm like, if you just think about, all right, how could I make my Starbucks experience that stands in the way of my water as painful as possible to choose? Because that's not a habit you want to keep. You want it to be like your brain like wants to vomit. Like, are we really going to drink Starbucks? I know you want it, but holy shit, our daughter is not going to have that croissant one day while she's over there because you had a Starbucks today.
Right.
That brings up emotion that's not judging. It brings up the emotion of, I should choose better for all of us. And I will choose better for all of us today.
Yep. So that I'm not wearing it on my ass.
Yeah. It's like a lot of times, like I did a lot of my girlfriend and I this weekend, we did a ton of work with me on, I'm always working on Logan, but man, we really did some work on it. And like my next month, there's a lot of stark reality. I got really raw and honest this weekend with her. And I was like, shit, Jane, I really don't like how I'm showing up. And so we came up with my 25 fails for my son. He's going to be my project this month, all this other stuff. But a lot of it was telling myself the truth. Like rather than saying, like for me, it's so easy to use you guys as an excuse to be like, well, you know, I really need to do this call. I really need to do this because, you know, this is really important for his future and stuff. I'm missing out on the now. And I just told myself, I was like, you're not going to use what you love to do as a way to escape it being uncomfortable doing something with him. Like, just be honest, really raw and honest. You're trading connection with your son for something you like doing. You're putting your joy over his. And when I started like really saying it out loud and talking to her about it and owning it, like it feels terrible. And it's supposed to. Because that's when you make a different choice, because no one wants to stay feeling terrible. It's like, okay, I have to quit choosing this so much to start choosing this over here that's way outside my comfort zone, but that's where I need to go. All right, so next 20 pounds. We're cutting out juice. We're cutting out Starbucks. We're going on a fast. We're going to drink the water. We're going to cut them out, and we're going to fast on judgment. There you go. Yeah. And I want you to literally think about every time you want to, I had my friend, Jane, she has a really hard time with negative thinking, like negative self-talk and stuff. And she's so like, you know, the Worry Bucket, mm-hmm. It's a podcast that I did. So listen to the Worry Bucket. It's on the Public podcast. My assistant does the Procrastination Bucket, where every time she wants to like grab ass and do something that she doesn't need to be doing in the moment, she puts it there and she has like 30 minutes every day where she gets to just diddle. I want you to have Fat Girl Thinking Bucket. So every time you want to be hard on yourself, I want you to write it down right there and then you're going to move on. And then you get 30 minutes every day that if you want to beat the fuck out of yourself, you get to do it on purpose. But there's not going to be any sitting around doing it like subtly and then eating something and doing like all this unconscious fat girl thinking that we're doing. It's going to be like, no, you know, every day at 7 o'clock, don't bother me because I'm going to be in the corner crying because I'm going to read all the shit that I think about myself. And I'm going to like, be like, is it true or not? Is this the stuff I really want to think? Oh my God, this is everything I've been thinking all day long. No wonder I'm always hungry. But you compartmentalize into that part and you do it on purpose. Because right now we're not doing it on purpose. We're just stabbing ourselves in the back with it. I gave you a lot of homework. I hope you wrote that down.
It's great to be able to go back and watch it again and hear it a second time. And I need you to yell at me a little bit.
I'm so good at it. Thank God y'all have me.
Bravo.
Yeah, no, I honestly, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I think even like, it will be good for you to miss the Starbucks. It will be good for you to have the conversation with yourself of how you're choosing something more important over an immediate desire. And it's going to feel awful, Heather. And here's the other thing. You might choose Starbucks sometimes and you need to do the work around, why am I choosing that Starbucks over what I said I would set, like set a money goal and just say, here's how much money that I want to be able to give my daughter solely from my Starbucks habit. Like I don't get to make up the ground with anything else. It's like, no, like here's the goal. I want to know that this amount of money that I've spent with Starbucks now goes straight to her. So how many of these am I giving up to reach that goal? It will make you work hard on yourself, and you're not allowed to judge yourself through it. You have to really figure out why you're choosing these things. You'll become a better person because of it.
Yeah. That's not the person that I want to be in the future when I'm 20 pounds lighter. I don't want to be the Starbucks girl.
Right. Yeah. This will be good. You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to tell you guys this story because I am scratching all over the place. Yesterday, I don't play golf. And then I'm going to let you guys go since we have a little extra time. So I started late. I don't play golf. My girlfriend does. And we went out to do golf. And I was going to just ride the cart with her all day. I brought a book. I was going to read, whatever. Well, the very first hole, she hit it crazy and it went into the trees. And she was like, well, come over here and help me find this. And I was like, okay. Well, while I was back in there, I was like, is this your ball? Is this your ball? And she's like, no, that's not my ball. And I said, why are all these balls here? And she said, because people just quit looking for them. She said, but save them because sometimes they'll be really good balls, right? So I was like, okay. Oh my God. I got crazy with it. So by the end of this golf thing, I was determined that I was going to find as many balls as I could. I am cut from head to toe because I was bear crawling, duck crawling, going through sticker brush. I mean, you've never seen anyone so determined to collect balls like I was. A guy rode around about, I think it was hole 7, and he said, the course record is 35 balls found and turned in. I was like, oh, that's going to be fucking easy because I was collecting them like crazy. And I told her, I said, there's just something so satisfying about picking them up. It's like I'm finding Easter eggs. And she said, well, they call it Easter eggs. I collected 65 of them little fuckers by the end of it. I turned them all in proudly. And I was like, here you go. Here's my balls. And so Jane, she took home 23 good quality ones. And she was like, these are great balls. So anyway. Was super proud of myself. It goes to show you, one, you can have a good time doing anything. You can, like, guys, I was gamifying. I was doing thought work. Like, I was crawling through stuff and saying, it's like a tough mudder. You've done worse than this before. Like, I was really, it sounds silly, but the whole time I kept joking with her. I was like, I'm just watching myself be so determined. Like, there was a couple times I wanted to not dig for the balls, and I did it anyway. It's just crazy. But it was just like that parallel that when we think about something that we really want to do, it's like if we can just sometimes gamify it, sometimes just come up with us like an outcome that we really want with it, just whatever. It's like I just want you guys to think about your weight loss. Like, when I'm coaching, it's always so heavy. It's always like, oh, this is like, you know, the worst thing ever, or I just need this part to stop. And it's like, what if we just start thinking so hard about weight loss in ways of, I'm going to make this easier. I'm going to figure this out. How can I do a little better today? Like, staying in that forward future mindset. That is exactly what I did when I lost my weight. You all know from the early podcasts, the way I did it was I knew in my heart that if I kept thinking the way I always thought, nothing was going to change. And I had to like believe in the idea that being nice to myself, not beating myself up, taking small steps for the long game versus the short game, that all of that, I was like, that has to be the way. Like, there's just not going to be another option. This is what I'm going to do, no matter what. Because my brain really wanted to go to the way I've always done it. My brain really wanted to go to, like, when somebody asked me, like, how do you get that fat girl thinking to end? I was like, I don't know. Quit. Like, that's a surefire way. Like, the best, like, quit trying to make your fat girl thinking end. Start getting comfortable with it. Like, let it come in, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, if you can make that separation out, it either dies down or it stays with you for a long time. But it doesn't control how you still show up. It's just there. And then you switch gears and be like, no, we're still gonna get our TED Talk done today. We're still gonna go for our run today. I'm still gonna make my 24-hour plan today. I don't care if the last 4 days I've bombed. that has nothing to do with me doing it today. Because what I know logically is like doing these things over and over again, eventually there will be one day where it will click. And that might be in 6 months, but I would much rather y'all fuck it royally up for 6 straight months. Don't do jack squat, but you said, but here's my 6 months of 24-hour plans. Here's every recovery worksheet I did. You do stuff like that, guys, you eventually change. The way you for sure aren't going to change is by like, well, the last like 3 weeks of doing them hasn't really yielded in enough results. It's like, you look for a result. Quit looking for why it's not working. Start looking for why it is working, that it's compounding and it's building. And one day the weight loss will start happening. You can argue with me all you want, but you have to believe it. You have to argue for your belief. You have to argue for why it's going to work. You have to argue harder for why you're going to stay the course even when you don't want to. And quit fucking arguing so hard with why you should be quitting and why this doesn't work and how frustrated you are and how sad you are and stuff. I'm like, guys, we have got to quit arguing so hard for the pain and start arguing for ourselves. All right, that's all I got. I'm obviously very excited. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm fixing to do a little work here and going to plan my week. Then I'm going to go to the airport. My son and my husband are in Minneapolis. They are flying through St. Louis. They were able to get a flight home. Their first flight got canceled. They're going to get home. Logan had an amazing time. They tubed a little. It kind of scared him, for all of you who were wondering. But he did a lot of just walking through nature, which he loves. He's determined he wants to live up north somewhere. He was amazed at all the snow. He even got to see it snow a little bit. So it was that trip he always dreamed of. And I'm just very grateful that I have a husband who not only never stands in the way of me doing girls' weekends, but who also uses it as an opportunity to make our son's dreams come true. So anyway, that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.